Yesterday, Rabbi Blau says a shiur on the Yoni Matzah, so he pointed out the Mishnah in Chava, where the Mishnah says that there are many dinim which depend on Shein Lechem. Lechem is necessary with respect to deciding Hamotzi Lechem and Haaretz. That's only a din d'Rabbanan. Lechem is relevant with respect to Netilas Yadayim, which is again only a din d'Rabbanan. Only washing Netilas Yadayim on Lechem, which is a takana d'Rabbanan. Lechem is relevant with respect to Erev Chatzeres. Erev Chatzeres means Dabka Lechem. Shitufa Mavuas and Erev Tchumen and Erev Tavshilin doesn't need Lechem. But Erev Chatzeres is a special takana come that you need Dabka Lechem. So again, Erev Chatzeres only the Rabbanan. So these are all dinim the Rabbanan. But some of the dinim have to do with dinim deraisa, namely matzah. The Torah says you should eat lechem only. So that's a din deraisa that has to be lechem. In fact, the takana de rabbanon, that the central concept of lechem with respect to hamoitzim, with respect to netilas adayim, with respect to erev chatzeres, is called the tikkun rabbanon, kein deraisa tikkun. The chaloshem lechem exists on the level of deraisa. V'hoye b'chol chumi lechem hor, it's a din of chalav. Din of Chalav is not as there is only the Rabbanon, even in Eretz Yisrael, and Chalav Chutz Lorz was always only the Rabbanon. A lot of Chalav is only the Rabbanon. But there exists a Din of Chalav that is there, right? So Bahoya Bacholchem Yilechem Or. So the Gemara says that that depends on a Din on Hashem Lechem. Bichas Amorven depends on a Din Lechem. Eretz Yisrael B'miskeim Estelchot B'Lechem Yechalto V'Salato V'Yerachto V'Es Hashem Elokechot. So the Gemara understands that the only time you have to recite Bichas Amorven is on lechem, but you need kidei svi. You don't need, but it has to be lechem. Let's say if a person just eats five bags of potato chips, and that's it. He drinks Coca Cola all day long, and he's full. He doesn't recite Birch Samoz. People make a mistake. They think that if a person eats a full meal, he has to recite Birch Samoz. There is such a Tana, Rabbi Akiva, whose opinion is not accepted. Rabbi Akiva says even if he only eats shelek, he only eats cooked vegetables, and that's humazono, and that is his meal, and that's filling. So then he has to recite Birchas HaMazon, and we pass him not so. You only recite Birchas HaMazon on Lechem, as it says in the Chumash. Eretz Yisrael and Mishkan is Perchot B'Lechem, Yechalto B'Svot HaVirach B'Shashem L'Kecha. Some Rishonim hold that Mayim Sholosh is also deraisa if you have wine, if you have dates, pomegranates, or figs, or so on. Yet Mayim Sholosh, but not also because it says Eretz Chitah Sarah Gevin and Tein Ibrahim, and let's say if you have Wheaties. So some Rishonim hold that Alamichya is deraisa also. Even though it's not lechem, the Wheaties is not lechem. Even if you eat a ton of Wheaties, you're not going to say Hamoitzi, because it's not lechem at all. You're just going to say Bar Minim Zetz. But also they hold that that's deraisa because of the way you read the pasuk. It says Eretz Chita V'Sarev Gefen and Teirim, and Eretz Eishem and Dvarish Eretz Shilav and Mifkenes Techo B'Lechem. Yechalta V'Savot Abirachta Shashem Lakecha. So the Yechalta V'Savot Abirachta goes back on everything. Goes back on all the Shivas Aminim, and it goes back on the Lechem, but it goes back to a different degree. These Rishonim say, because Eretz Hipsik Linyan, the Gemara says. It says, Eretz, Chita, Vesaru, Gefen, Atenu, Rimon, semicolon. Eretz, how does it say? Eretz, Eishem, and Advash. Then it says, Eretz, Ashalob, and Skenes, Tochobal. It says three times Eretz. Eretz, Chita, Vesaru, Gefen, Atenu, Rimon, that's Eretz, Kama. Then you have Eretz, Batsa. Eretz. Zeishem and Bosch, then it is a third Eretz, Asher Lovim Skenes Techol Balechem. Then it is the Echalta Basalata Virachto. Even if you hold it, it goes back on everything, even on the original Shivas Aminim, but it doesn't go back to the same extent that it goes back on Lechem. On Lechem, that's how the Rishonim say, on Lechem we require Gimel Brachas. You have to recite Birchas HaMazon in the form of three Brachas. You wouldn't be Yoytim in Atur if you'll just say, an abridged form, if you say Alamichya, on bread. Sheni came on the Shivas Amina mentioned earlier, so there, even the Rishonim hold that Chalta V'Svata V'Rachta goes back on that, but it doesn't go back to the same extent, so one could be Yotze if you recite Me'en Sholosh, if you recite Alagefen, if you recite Aleitzva Prihaitz, you don't have to say the whole Birchas HaMazon. There's a difference on the level of the rice. Anyway, again, the concept of lechem doesn't only exist. That's what Rabbi Blau, that was 1 minute of his drush, he said that drush for a whole hour. So 1 minute of his shiur was that the concept of lechem exists on the level of the rabbanon. We know for sure, Amotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, Amotzi L'Shadayim, and the Erevei Chatzeres, but it also exists on the level of the rice. With respect to matzah, it has to be called lechem oini, it has to be lechem. Number two, with respect to challah, And number three, with respect to Birchas HaMazon, those dinim are already as dinim deraisa. So the Gemara has, in the sugyas of matzah, the Gemara has psulim with respect to matzah. Some of the psulim are because we require lechem, and some of the psulim matzah are because we require lechem oini. It has to be lechem oini. Pratle, whatever. Some of the things that are excluded because of the fact that you need lechem are, let's say, number one, that it has to be dafke made from the chameshis minyan dogan. The Gemara says on Lamed Hey Amid Aleph, that how do you know that you can only bake matzah from these chameshis minyan dogan, and Eriz V'Dechen is not included. There was a machlokes tatanoim, Rabbi Chaim ben Nuri and the Chachamim. And whenever there's a machlokes tatanoim, we know that many chassidim anshei maisa like to be machmen, to be yotze, they call our shita to the choshish, even though he paskin against Rabbi Chaim ben Nuri, even though Yochet V'Rabim Halacha Kirabim, he was outvoted by the majority of the opinions of the other Chachamim, but one might perhaps think that there's a midas chassidis to be choshish for his opinion. So the Gemara says later that there isn't even such a midas chassidus. There isn't a kufyu dalet on a base. The Mishnah says that on Pesach night you have to have shnei tavshilim on the Seder tray. And the Gemara wasn't sure what that meant. So the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion that the idea behind the shnei tavshilim is, Rav Yosef says, Echad zechel lepesach ve'echad zechel lechagiga. That's what prompted Rav Yosef to say that you have to have dafke shnei mini basar. The first opinion said you can have vegetables, you can have soup, you can have rice, you can have any kind of shnei tavshilin you want. In fact, there was one afilu silka v'arayzer. Rav Huna said the two tavshilin don't have to be fleshic pieces of flesh. That's what we use. We use one as an egg and one as a fligal of a chicken. So the one that's an egg is not fleshic. One opinion in the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef's opinion was, it has to, since it's Zechel HaPesach, Zechel HaChagiga, that it was instituted after the Churban Bayis Sheni, that they made that Takpani should have Shnei Tavshilin. The Rabbi Yosef insists there has to be Shnei Minibos. And the other Amoraim hold, not so. The Maskanos HaGemara is against Rabbi Yosef. That's why we use an egg. It doesn't have to be Shnei Minibos. So one Amora to stress this, Rav Huna wants to stress the point that he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yosef, says that Tafila Silka V'Aroiza. Even if one of them is Silka, is beets, no? And one of them is Aroiza, is rice, it's also good for shnei. Neither is fleshy. Neither, not even chicken. Not even an egg and a piece of chicken. They're both not fleshy. It's also good as long as they have shnei mini tavshil. The Gemara has an interesting comment. Rava habi mahadar asilka varoiz. Rava would go out of his way, bedavke, to have for the shnei tavshil, and one of them would be beets and one of them would be rice, because of the fact, probably ofik min pum de Rav Huna, because he learned by Rav Huna, that was his Rebbe. So he, out of chibas harav, out of love that he had towards his Rebbe, he always wanted to remind himself of what the Rebbe said in the shir. Even though the Rebbe said, even silka v'arayz is good, but it's certainly a hidur mitzvah, if you have shnei tavshilin, shnei minei batzar, if you have a piece of meat, and you have a piece of chicken, or two pieces of meat, a piece of liver, and a piece of whatever, and a piece of a normal piece of meat. So that would certainly be a hidur mitzvah, but still, since Rav Huna wanted to stress in shir that he disagrees with Rabbi Yosef, and it doesn't have to be shnei mini basar. And he said, as a mashal, ungechaptist, as a mashal after the silk of our roses, so Rava went out of his way, bedavke, every year, to have his wife make silk of our roses, just to reminisce the years before. He learned by his Rebbe 20 years before. His Rebbe passed away already. No, he always was maharat to have silk of our roses out of chibas harav. Hovin ofik mikum de Rav Huna. The Gemara has that in different places, such an expression, such an idea. Hovin ofik mikum de Rav, or something like that. Since this Talmud Chacham said it, even though it wasn't intended lahalacha, or even though it was a kula, whatever, the Talmidim wanted to cherish every reminiscence of the Rebbe, so they went out of their way. So the Gemara says, what do you mean that Rava did a midas chassidus to have dafke silka v'arayza, always to remind himself, to tell over his children, to tell over his Talmidim that he heard from his Rebbe, yafila silka v'arayza. And why wasn't he chayshish for another midas chassidus if Rabbi Yechon Menduri holds that oirez, that rice is one of the chameshit mini dogon, it has a din like a dogon, and if you're going to cook it with water, it'll become chameh. So his wife made regular rice, like the Sfadim make rice, they cook it. And they're not concerned about the fact that it may turn into chum. So why didn't he choose to be chayshish for that? he chose more to cherish the words of Rav Huna, his Rebbe, to be Mahadat, he used to go Baroiza, rather than to be Choshish for the Shitas of Tanoi. Rav Rebech Manuri, so the Gemara says, yes, that's right. From this we can infer Shma Mino, from Rav Huna, from Rabba, you can infer Leis Duchosh Lahad Rav Rebech Manuri, that no one holds like Rav Rebech Manuri, there isn't even a Midas Chasidus. It doesn't even constitute a Midas Chasidus to be Choshish for his opinion. He's Nidka Legamri Min HaHaloch. That's how the Gemara says. Haka, why? That's the question. Why? I mean, after all, it is a Machlekes HaTanoim. Rebech Manuri is a Tana, and he disagrees with the other Tanoim. Why? So the Pashtus is, whenever you have a Machlekes HaTanoim, we say there's a Midas Chasidus, a Machlekes HaMaroim, a Machlekes HaPoskim, even though we follow the majority opinion. But it does constitute a Midas Chasidus to be Choshish L'chumer for the minority view. Yeah, that's only by Medvam Amurim, the Rebbe Yehuda says, that's only if it's not Itme Hilchas Elahedya, if it wasn't Oizgi Paskin, the Beirish, black and white, against that minority opinion. We know, Yochad Berab, Manoch Gram, we know what the din is going to be. But whenever they voted, and they outvoted this minority opinion, then it's worse. And then there isn't even, it doesn't even constitute a Midas Chasidus to be Choshish for that opinion. That's what the Rebbe Yehuda has a truth about that. That's based on this Gemara, it's based on a Gemara in the first Perek in Nida, but the Gemara has also like that, that B'Shas HaTchak, you can rely on the Shita Sayochid, the Gemara says. But there was a Shaila Batunu Vatare, and one of the Tanoim was Mekel, because it was a big Shas HaTchak. So the Gemara says, what do you mean a Shas HaTchak? If it was Oizki Patkin Beferish, like the Rabbim against the Yochid, so how can you rely on the Yochid even B'Shas HaTchak? So the Gemara says, no. The answer was, it was never Oizki Paskin Beferish. Just as we know what the din is, Yochid Verab Malagram, we know on our own what the din is. So when we know on our own what the din is, and we don't follow the Shitas HaYochid, the minority view, it doesn't mean that the Yochid is wrong. It means that that we don't follow his opinion. But it would constitute, we don't totally ignore the Shitas HaYochid. On the one hand, it would constitute a Midas Chasidus to be Choshish for his opinion. On the other hand, if it would be a big Shas HaTchak, we would even allow you to rely on his opinion. Kedayu Raplani Lismachala B'Shas HaTchak. Umar has in the first Perek in Brocha such a concept. And it's quoted in the Yeridei Lalom. It's even a Machlokes the Shach and the Taz, whether you apply this Kedayu Raplani Lismachala B'Shas HaTchak, do you apply it even to Dinim Deraisa? Or only to Dinim Derabbana? Maybe within Dinim Derabbana, the Gemara has it on Muktze, the Gemara has it on Birchas Kriyashma, Gemara has it when you get the Tumah V'Tara Derabbanan in the first Perek and Nida. All the cases, the Gemara has a role Dinim Derabbanan. But there's a big machlokes in the Yeridei, I think it's Reish Tariq Dalet, in Hilchas, things Chodosh, the issue of Chodosh, if I'm not mistaken. So there's a machlokes, the Shach and the Taz, whether you apply this even to Dinim Deraisa. Kedayu Raplani List Machala B'Shas HaTchak, even to Dinim Deraisa. But to Dinim Derabbanan, for sure, you apply it. So again, that cloud that you apply it to this idea that there's a Midas Chasidus to be Choshish for the Shita Sayochid if he's a Machmer. And if the Shita Sayochid is a Mekel, that sometimes in rare instances, if it's a very big Shas HaTchak, you have a right to be Mekel, to rely on the Shita Sayochid. That's only when it's Loyet Mehilchas Elahegim. I mean, never really took a vote and outvoted that Shita Sayochid. But whenever it's Itme Hilchas Elahegim, he was outvoted. So there's nothing to discuss, so there isn't even a Midas Chasidus. That's what Moshe Feinstein writes in his Shubis, Chelek Eben Ezra, the first Chelek Eben Ezra. There was a big Rav years ago, Rav Lezer Silva, who was one of the members of the Presidium of the Agudas Rabbanim. So whenever he would come to a wedding, he would insist that you have to write the Ksuba by hand, that you can't use a printed Ksuba and just fill in the name. You have to write everything by hand. So it would be a very common practice. They would both be at the same wedding. Rav Moshe Feinstein would take a ksuba and fill in the names. Rav Lezer Silva would walk in and he'd make a big spectacle and rip it up in front of everybody, make a big drama. It's very dramatic, colorful. He used to read the ksuba. That was like a dramatic presentation. He used to read it like a play. Everyone had to pay attention. If he would hear one pin drop there, he would... He'd make everybody be quiet, then he would start again from the beginning of the line. Everybody has to hear the ksuba that he was reading. Very colorful individual. So he would make this big fuss. He would rip up the ksuba. Rav Moshe would just sit there. He wouldn't say boo. But Rav Moshe printed svarim, and he didn't. He printed a little bit. No one reads this one. But Rav Moshe printed svarim, so he got back at him. So Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva, he doesn't write what happened. He just writes The Mishnah says that you can take a printed ksuba and fill in the names. And even though there's an opinion of Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah that you have to write the whole ksuba by hand, that opinion has not been accepted, and it doesn't even constitute a midas chasidus to be koshish for that opinion because it was outvoted, and there's nothing to discuss. So everybody reads Rav Moshe's tshuvas. Now, no one knows. Ovad Zichra, Blazer Silva is not here anymore, and he's not here to fight his cause by ripping up the silvers that were printed. And everybody reads Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe, of course, what it says in the Gemara. The Rav Yehuda's opinion was totally outvoted, so it doesn't even constitute the Midas Chasid. So that's what the Gemara has over here also on Kuf Yudala on the base. That Rav Yehuda Menuri's opinion is totally ignored. Leis Lechosh Lohad Rav Yehuda Menuri. You don't have to be concerned at all that the rice can be bottled in him. That's why the Amoraim. That's why Rava was always looking for Midas Chasidus. His Midas Chasidus was to be Mekel on the Shnei Kavshilim. One would have thought, ooh, Midas Chasidus be Machma like Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef holds that you need Shnei Minibasa. No, his Rebbe apparently was Rav Huna. So he wanted to be Mahadir, Halvin Ofik, Bimkum de Rav Huna. He wanted to be Mahadir to remember what Rav Huna said in the Shir, to remind himself and to say it over to his Talmidim and to his children. That's the din like Rav Huna, Afila Silka Varazin. So he went out of his way. I say, how come now the minig by the Ashkenazim is that they don't eat oiris? Isn't that to be choshish for shitas Rabbeich and Menuri? So the answer is no, that's a different thing. It has nothing to do with Rabbeich and Menuri. That's the minig of kitnius. And Kufas Hagoinim, they instituted this new minig not to eat kitnius. The mocker of not eating kitnius is also based on the Gemara, a mem on its base. The Gemara says, Rav Papi apparently was the mashgiach over the kitchen in the Reish Galusa's home. So the cooks, the chefs in the kitchen wanted to know, are they allowed to mix in some kitnius? So he says, absolutely no shaila whatsoever. Hetta goma. A mem on the base right before the Mishnah. Rav Papi shorele le burdiki de bei Reish Galusa le mimchi kiteir b'chasisi. Mazda chasisi? Rashi writes something, a whole different shot. The Tosis quotes from the Rabbeinu Hananel. Tosis quotes the Oruch and the Rabbeinu Hananel. The bottom line on the Daf in Tosis, on the Amen Beis, a Chassisi means Kemach Shal Adashim, that it's not Bola De Chimus. The Kitnius is Bola De Sirchum, it's not Bola De Chimus. And that's Allah, the Kitnius is not Bola De Chimus, so it's Mutas. So Rava got angry and he says, how can you allow that? Who do you think the chefs were in the Reish Galusa? Who do you think the chefs are in any hotel? There's such, most of them are Nochrim. Most of them are Nochrim. So, and who are the people who are roaming around there? Also not such great tzaddik, not such Talmid HaChacham. So he says, how can you allow this? You can allow such a thing in a place where they're not so observant, in the kitchens, in the big hotels, in the kitchens, in the Reish Galusa, something, they're not so medactic. So you shouldn't allow them to use any kitchen. So it's based on that Gemara that the Gaonim said that even though in the Gemara days of the Gemara Rava only forbade this in the home of the Reish Galusa, but in everybody else's home they didn't have a hotel. That was the only place in the world where they had a hotel, a kosher hotel, was by the Reish Galusa. Everybody else made their own seder, made their own pesach. So every husband and wife are going to be medaktik and mitzvahs. To the extent that they're medaktik, they don't be medaktik. So there's nothing to be afraid. What? I should be afraid my wife is not going to be medactic enough. So each person, Mustama, marries a woman, Mustama, the children and their parents. They're all on the same level of religious observance in the days of the Gemara. They didn't have such a thing that the husband is more observant, the wife is more observant, the children are more observant. Everybody is more or less, whatever. They're religious people and non-observant, you know, different madrigas. But the whole family was on the same level. So that's why the Goyim instituted in the later generations, maybe the reason why is because they started more hotels. Or they had families where not everybody was on the same level of religious observance. So it was like the case with the Reish Galusa, that the people who are eating the food are very medactic, and the people who are cooking in the kitchen are not so medactic. So that's why the Goyim instituted this Chumra of Rav by everybody, that you shouldn't allow kitnius. You shouldn't allow kitnius. The Prim Gaon says that the minig not to eat kitnius only applies on Pesach. It doesn't apply on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. It's only a chumrah. It's only a chumrah. It's not nikar adin. So whatever is only a chumrah on Pesach. On Pesach, when chometz is b'mashu, So then you have the chumrah. On Erev Pesach, chametz is not b'mashu. So what? You don't have to go chumrah. Let's say we have a chumrah. The Gemara has a chumrah that that chametz is the kosher. Chametz is the mashu. So the Rambam's opinion is that chametz is the mashu even on Erev Pesach. But in Shulchan Aruch we don't fast like the Rambam. The Rambam fasts against the Rambam. The chametz mechaber also fasts against the Rambam. I think the chametz and Rambam, yeah, mechaber is also mechaber and the Rambam. They both fasting against the Rambam. Chometz on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, even though it's a deraita, but it's no chumrah the chometz, no chumrah the koris. The chometz on Erev Pesach will not eat the mashu. Let's say by Hasidim, where they don't eat gebrachs. So would they eat gebrachs on Erev Pesach? Would they eat gebrachs on Erev Pesach? There's no problem of eating matzah by Erev Pesach. Eating matzah by Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to, only if it's such a matzah that you can be yetzi dechavasa b'lel Pesach. Let's say knedlach. Knedlach are all gebrachs. And because it's cooked, because the knedlach are cooked in the pot of soup, so the Mishnah Brura says la'alocha that since it's cooked, so you can't be yotzei dechavas matzah with such knedlach. So let's say Hasidim who wouldn't eat gebrachs during the duration of Pesach, after 8 day Pesach they do eat because it's only a chumrah. So whatever is only a chumrah, they make on the last day. Yantav Shem Shogol is on the last day, 8 day Pesach. What about an Erev Pesach? So the Bashtis is also that Gibrox should be muta on our face. So the whole idea of Gibrox is a hashash for a mashu. The Choshish maybe is mashu. No, mashu is muta on our face. The only reason why they don't do it is simply a technical reason, because many of the Hasidim who wouldn't eat Gibrox, many Hasidim wouldn't eat Gibrox because the Choshish for mashu chomets wouldn't even use the kalim. The Choshish for blias kalim also. Not to use the pots and the pans in which matzah was cooked, not to use the soup bowl for any other kosher Pesach bigger foods, because it has the bliya from the gebrach. So if you're choshish for bliyas kelim, so if you're going to cook, soup, let's say this Shabbos, you're going to serve soup, and you're going to have knedlach in the soup, and you're going to eat the knedlach on Shabbos morning or Shabbos afternoon. So there's no problem of eating matzah b'Erev Pesach because it's matzah mu'ur shalos, and the Mishnah Berurah says knedlach is muta. And there's no problem of gibrox let's say b'Erev Pesach because chametz is not from mashu. But then when it comes to l'Erev Pesach, you won't be able to use that pot because we're going to have the bliya of the chametz from Erev Pesach. How do they use the pot next year if they make gibrox on the 8th day of Pesach? So they say that they're makel on that. Many Hasidim don't have the practice to be machmer on Bliyas Kalim. They're only machmer on the Gebrox itself, they're not machmer on the Bliyas Kalim. But those who are machmer on the Bliyas Kalim also, so how do they use the Pach next Pesach if they all have the practice to dafke the Gebrox on the 8th day? They want to demonstrate. That's how it says in the B'nai Yisosfar. Rav Hirsch Melech Dinever writes in his Sefer, Yeruza Chassidishe Rebbe, the Dinever Rebbe. So he writes in his Sefer, B'nai Yisoska, why is it that they're medaktik bedavke di, ki brooks on the 8th day Pesach, to demonstrate that Nikar Adin is really mutter, that the Bezen Shalmaila shouldn't be mekatrig on all of the other Jews, on the Misnagdim, who do eat Gebrox all Pesach long, so they're going to demonstrate that Gebrox is also, so the Bezen Shalmaila may be mekatrig, may punish all the others who are not medaktik. The Chassidim go out of their way, bedavke di, ki brooks on the Shemini Shalpesach, to show that Rabban Shalom shouldn't be too harsh on the others, on the Misnagdim, because Nikra Adin, it's really Mutta. So the others don't have the Chumrah. So the question is, though, but if they bedavke to go out of their way to eat Gebrox on the 8th day Pesach, so how do they use their pots and pans next year on Pesach? So that's what they usually say, that since the whole Gebrox is only a Chumrah, so here they rely on the Shitas Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi quotes a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, but the Gemara says that if you have pots that have a bli of Stam Yenom, that a bli of tray for wine in them that was manufactured by Goyim, so the wine is also in the Rabbanon. So if you have a bli of Stam Yenim and the pot has not, the barrel has not been used for 12 months, so you've been Kodesh, so then we assume that the bli will have already disappeared. There's no bli at all. It means if the pot was emptied out, if the barrel was emptied out 12 months ago, so the Gemara assumes that a kli shein ben yomo, 24 hours passed by on the kli, so then if a bliya which is Einim and Yom is nice and Tamil of Gam. A regular tray for bliya is nice and Tamil of Gam. But a bliya, so midirabbanon, you have to kashim. And I tell you, you don't have to kashim, midirabbanon, you have to kashim the pot. But if the bliya has been sitting there in the Zefnag there for 12 months, so then the Gemara says that the bliya disappears and you don't even have to kashim midirabbanon. So the Chacham Tzvi claims that Gemara, even though it's only written in Masechet Avodah Zarah in connection with Stam Yenam, he claims it applies to most other Yisurim, to many other, not to all Yisurim, to most other Yisurim as well. Any Trefa pot, 90% of Trefa pots that haven't been used in a year at all, you don't have to kasher at all. And all the other pots can disagree with Chacham Tzvi, and they hold, no, that's only a coolant Stam Yenam. You have a lot of kulas in Stam Yenim. But Stam Yenim is only a chumra mid rabbanon. So this is one of the other person disagreed. They said this is one of the many kulas in Stam Yenim that if the pot hasn't been used in 12 months, so then you can make it. But the other poskim would be mitzarif as a snif lehetta. They would be mitzarif the svar of the Chacham Svi to other instances. So that's what the Hasidim rely on. That when they cook it, drops in their soup pots on Shmini Shal Pesach on the last day Pesach. So all the pots have a bliya of gibrok. So how do they use the pot next Pesach with that kashrut? So the answer that they usually give is that they, with respect to this whole chumrah, they rely on the Chacham Svi that you don't have to kash. You know, it's not a 100%, it's not a full year, they're missing a couple of them. But still, the Gemara says you don't have to be so didactic about the full year. Why don't we? Yeah, they're different minhagim. Some takis, there are many different minhagim in Achrenim. Some only have the minig not to eat kitnios that were made into, that were cooked, that were made, that were made into a loaf, that they baked them into a loaf or something like that. But whole raw kidneys, or if you make shemen from the kidneys before Pesach, so how can anything happen to the? What can possibly mislead one about this kidneys? And then the later as the generations went on, so they added on more and more chumra. So the latest chumra is that we don't allow any kidneys at all. That was the Meiser Rav Kook had in Eretz Yisrael. Many years ago, there was someone who manufactured shemen kidney, some kind of a shemen kidney, sesame oil or something like that. And he wanted a hashgacha kosher Pesach. They went to Rav Kook, and Rav Kook checked through the whole procedure, and he thought that it was gevalda. So he gave a hashgacha, and the badatz posted isurim that you're not allowed to eat it because of shemen kidney. And Rav Kook said that it's based on Ruba de Ruba of the Paschim, that Shemek Kitnius is Mutter. And today, the meaning is that we don't eat. The meaning is that we don't allow Shemek Kitnius. That's the whole Chashash. Why didn't he kosher the Pesach sodas? Some of the sodas may be treif, but leaving out treif, for all year long, may be treif. Some of it has a real treifus in it, but if it's kosher for all year long, so what could possibly be the treifus for Pesach? So part of the treifus is that the flavoring, the sweetening, is from corn syrup. And we treat corn as one of the kidneys, and the corn syrup is shemen kidneys. It was made into shemen kidneys way before Pesach. So according to Rav Kook, according to most of the Ruba de Ruba, 99% of the Paschim, that's mutter. It was made into shemen kidneys before Pesach. The minhag olam now is lahachmir that we don't allow it. In America, we don't allow it. I think maybe in Eretz Yisrael they do allow. Could be the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael does allow. But in America, all the kashrus organizations don't allow.
So,
all the kidneys is very unclear. What belongs to the kidneys, what's not. Like peanuts. Fruits are not kidneys, that's for sure. Cashews and all the nuts that grow on trees, for sure not kidneys. The only shaila is, what about peanuts that grow on the ground? It's not a nut, it doesn't grow on a tree. So I remember my Rebbe told us, Rav Fishman, told us that when he was in Shanghai, they were learning when they ran away from the Nazis, and maybe she was in Shanghai, said it was, one of the boys was sitting in the basement eating peanuts. And the Chinaman who was washing the floor started to scream, "Hummets, hummets!" And they didn't know where, who, what hummets? Kept on screaming, so he said, "Where's the hummus?" So he walked over and he pointed to the peanuts. He said, "That's the first time they ever heard that there's anything wrong with eating peanuts from the Chinaman. They never heard of it in Europe. They never heard it till the middle of the war." That's why Rav Moshe Feinstein writes years ago, maybe still now, I don't remember, years ago, when I was a little boy, they used to have peanut oil. Had a hashgacha, kosher l'pesach. Used to have a label on it. Could be that they still sell it now. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, that the one who gave the hashgacha, the Heksha, was one of the big rabbanim from the Agudas Rabbanim. Well, obviously he knows what he's doing, so he must be basing his hashgacha on the fact that, number one, it could be that peanuts is not kidneys at all. The Pashtus has nothing to do with kidneys. And number two, even if it were kidneys, Ruba, 99% of the Bosn hold the Shemi kidneys is really mutter. But the mice, and the meaning is that now we don't allow it. Now we don't allow peanut oil. The different things, they're questionable whether they're really included in kidneys or not. some professor from Cornell just wrote a paper. He's not a religious, I don't think he's a religious Jewish person. But the OU always consults him. Other kashrus organizations consult him when it comes to fish and food products. That's his field. He's a professor of manufacturing food. There's a whole university. Cornell has a whole, apparently, a whole section on preparing food. They give degrees on how to cook cholent and how to bake cholent and so on. So this guy's one of the big mumkin there. So they always ask him about the different foods. So he thought, Shangvara mumke. They thought that he knows how to say what the halachas are. So he wrote a whole paper that he just sent out to different rabbonim in the kashrus organization that they should tell him whether he's right or wrong, totally wrong, from the top to the bottom. He's trying to define what kitnis was. And ganz wrong. He guessed everything wrong. Anyway, so the original kitnis would be adashim, Tosfos says, bebala, amem amadei. And then you have oiris. Then you have the right. The question is, what do these things have in common? It's very unclear. Very, very unclear. How do you determine what's kitnis, what's not? The Marcheshes has a tshuva. Penachegish has a tshuva in his sefer. He was the dying in Vilna. He died in the middle of the Second World War. So Shver tshuva tries to determine what is kitnis, what's not kitnis. Very Shver to give a definition. Right. The Pashtus is that that's what it is. It's something that could be made into flour and could be confused with regular flour. If you allow people to use this flour, what is it? Potato starch. Potato starch should be the real kidneys. That's what the Chayorim said. The potatoes are kidneys. People make, instead of making the Hasidim who are medactic not to use gibrok, so they use always potato starch, and all of their cakes are shahakul cakes and shahakul cookies. So that's what the Chayorim said. No, potato starch is like mamish, an imitation from real flour. And you make cakes and cookies and you can fool everybody into believing that it's a regular cake and a cookie. So that's mamish, the real kidneys. So the Chayorim asks the potatoes. In Europe, they used to say, he's a chayodim, he's a misasodim. What's a chayodim? Because in Europe, they had nothing to eat, so they used to, all they ate used to be potatoes. That's the Pesach, that's all they had, was potatoes. So said, what kind of chayodim? This is misasodim. So his opinion was never accepted, even though that should be the real McCoy, that should be the real kidneys. If kidneys means something that you can make flour from, and if you allow people to mix this flour with water and let it sit as long as you want, so they'll take regular flour. Mix it with water and let it sit as long as you want, and the regular flour will become chametz. So it will be a big confusion. What is the whole gibrok all based on? The Gemara says the Farish in Sochim, that if you have matzah that's already afuyo and the matzah was baked already, it cannot be bor lidei chimutz. Here it is, lamed tes on the base, right after the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, the first line after the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, elu dvarim sheinam boim lidei chimutz. The following things, even though it's chameshis minei dogen, cannot possibly become common. So it says ha'afui, the hamavushal, the hacholot, etc. Means if you have afui, you have matzahs that were baked already, and then you take the matzah and you soak it in water, you broke, or you take the matzah, you grind it up, you make matzah melt, and then you make nedlach out of it, or you make a filling, whatever you make a filling, you use matzah melt to fill in the gefilte fish. That's how gefilte fish always made with matzah melt. So the Gemara said the famous habrais in the Gemara. That ha'ofui is not bo lidei chimutz. Once it was baked already, so it cannot possibly bo lidei chimutz. So the Hasidim said, yeah, that was only bizman ha'gimore, where they used to bake the matzahs very well, and they got baked through and through. But bizman hazeh, that they don't bake the matzahs so well, so you have to be choshesh. Maybe there's a little part of the dough that really remained raw, even after it went through the oven. That's why many are makbid, when you have hand matzahs, many are makbid to leave the matzahs in the oven extra specially long, and the matzahs are mamish burnt. Matzah are burnt, so there's no chashash that anything is going to be bole de chimutz. Otherwise, if it's bole de chimutz, so the Gemara says the feirish, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that saliva is also makbid. So let's say if there's really a chashash that part of the matzah is still raw, so when the person is chewing the matzah in his mouth, so it can be bole de chimutz, and when he swallows it, it'll be over on the isa chometz. That's why they were makbid to bake the matzahs, the briska, the very vatnas, to bake the matzahs till they were mamish burnt. No, maybe it was sitting before. The Gemara says shias, a suffix in the Gemara, but the shias mitzarfa. The Gemara says less than 18 minutes is mamish no chashash. It certainly cannot be boladichim. It's more than 18 minutes, then we're going to discuss it. Then we'll think about it. Less than 18 minutes, nothing to discuss it. The Gemara has a suffix. What about Shiva's Mausha Yitztarfa? If I left it sitting for 17 minutes and I started to knead it and to do a lot of tumbling, and then I left it for another 2 minutes later on. So do you say the 17 minutes from before and the 2 minutes from now I'm a star from Yachad, and you may or may not have a problem. On your hand, you say no. So we machmer on that. That she is a star from Yachad. So that's the hashash. And maybe he was sitting before the heat of the oven was probably evaporated all the water. So it didn't become chametz since it was baked. But now if you'll put it in your mouth or you'll soak it in water, so now it may be a little bit of a shia, maybe we start with whatever shia there was before, and maybe voladichim. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say over jokingly in the shia, he's a misnagit, so he used to make fun of those on the doctor on the gebrox, not eating gebrox. So he said he wants to ask the chassid, if they're really so concerned about gebrox, so how do you eat the matzahs? Should be a hashash of chometz because the saliva is bolei dechim. So he said, the chassid answered him, what kind of a ridiculous question is that? Esed dechalai sase. Of course, you're permitted to eat chometz in order to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. They're those who only eat matzah for the sake of the mitzvah. They won't eat matzah the rest of Pesach Taka because it's a hashash of chometz. So that's what he said. Esed dechalai sase. So he was saying jokingly, what kind of esed dechalai sase? If it's chometz, it's not, you're not yotzei. But aside from that, if it's chametz, so it's not matzah by definition. How can it be considered? Anyway, this is the Gemara. The Gemara says that offui, if it's ready off, it's not bolei dechim. There's a famous story that's quoted on this Gemara. One of the storm, I think the name is Afika Yehuda or something. He writes that he had a charusa with the Nachal Zovid that we're going to learn together 6 years. The first year we're going to finish all of Zroyim, because the Yerushalmi, the second year that we're going to finish all of Moed, and the third year we're going to finish all of Nezikin, and so on. We wanted to finish all of Shas in 6 years. And then they were learning together for 2.5 years, and they hadn't finished, they hadn't yet finished 2.5 Sidorim. And his Chavrusa, the Nachal Zohar, got a letter from Abchaim Balozhina that he needs him to come back to the Yeshiva, and he gave Shurim, and that was the end of their Chavrusa. He writes in the Hagdama to the Sefer, the Sodom God writes in the Hagdama that his Chavrusa, the Nachal Zohar, knew how to learn better than him, because he learned the Derech HaLimud of the Vilna Gaon, and he didn't. He lived further. This, the one who wrote the Sefer was born in a city that was further away from Vilna. Nachal Zohar was born closer to Vilna, so the Hashpah, the influence of the Vilna Gaon, the Derech HaLimud, had already penetrated his community. And he was born in a community further away from Vilna, and the influence of the Gaon had not yet been felt, so they learned the old Derech HaLimud, so that's why he didn't know how to learn as well. And what was the whole difference in the Derech HaLimud? So he writes, the whole difference was that the Gaon felt first you have to learn all the Chumash, then Tanakh, then Mishnayos, then Gemara, then you learn Shulchan Aruch. And the other communities, the Minig was not so. They first they learned Shulchan Aruch, and they didn't understand anything. And then they learned Gemara, and they never straightened out what they misunderstood in the Shulchan Aruch. Then they went back to the Chumash and the Tanakh, and everything was out of order. If you learn out of order, so you get everything kaka. So you have, that was the whole difference in the Derech HaLimud. So he has a sefer about this size. He has a sefer about this size on all of Talmud Bavli, on all of Gemara. He has little paragraphs, little he'oris. On this Gemara, Lamentes Amveis, he's the one who has that famous story that Rav Chaim Balozhina once went to Vilna to ask the Vilna Gaon, what does he think about the Gebrox meaning? The Chassidim started the meaning of Gebrox, and the Gemara says that Ofu is not Bobi Dei Chimut. So the Vilna Gaon, when he heard it had to do with the Chassidim, was opposed to it. He was opposed to anything that has to do with Chassidus. They say that his mother wound him up against the Chassidus. Whatever. Balatani came to visit the Vilna Gaon, and he didn't want to speak to him. So they say that the Gaon's mother didn't let him speak. She's the one who's at fault for the whole machlokes. Whatever it is, whoever was at fault. So when the Vilna Gaon heard that it was a new minig that was started by the Chassidim, so he was opposed to it, so to demonstrate that he doesn't hold from the minig of Gibrox, he put a knedel in the window in his home in Vilna. Everybody should know that he does eat knedel, all of Pesach, not just on the 8th day. They tell over the story that the Nesivus was a Misnagit, but his son-in-law was a Chassid. His son-in-law wrote, we once quoted a few things that his son-in-law has, the Maharoch. He was a Kohen, I forgot, but what was his first name? I forgot about it. Avraham HaKohen, I forgot about it. He has a printed hesped. They have in the library the printed hesped when the Gerer Rebbe died, when Chedush Arim died. So he said a hesped printed in the end of the hesped. He has the Chedushim in Hilchos Avelos, Chedushim Maharoch. He has another sefer Chedushim Maharoch on Gemara. So when the son-in-law visited the father-in-law, he didn't give him any gebrachos. At the end of Pesach, the story goes that he thanked the Nesivus for not putting him through, not giving him a hard time. He appreciates his consideration for not serving gebrox during Pesach. So he says, what do you mean? Consideration. That's your punishment. If you don't want to eat gebrox, I don't give you any gebrox. It's not, wasn't the reward that he was nice to him. He was punishing him by not giving him gebrox. Whatever it is. Chassidim have the minhag that they don't eat kibbutz. So that's the shaila whether the minhag applies on Erev Pesach. Pashtus says that it doesn't apply. Chumrus, whatever is a chumrus, like kitnias, so the Prima Gaon says there's no chumrus of kitnias on Erev Pesach. So the Pashtus is no chumrus of kibbutz on Erev Pesach, and there's no chumrus of mashu. Mashu is shteitach in the Gemara also, and achlam and manal. But the chumrus be Pesach, we pass it to be mashu. So although the Rambam holds that chumrus even there at Pesach, lachat mani sur is be mashu, we don't pass it like that Rambam. Chab and the Rambam are both passing against the Rambam. The chumrus be Chumrah the chometz is only mishum koris. So the chumrah the chometz only on Pesach. Er Pesach, chometz is the same as treifetz all year long. That is bapul b'shishim. You don't have the chumrah. So the pashtu should be that by chasidim gibrok should be mutar on Er Pesach. The only thing is they're not going to do it because b'shuvah daf nizlan. What are they going to do with the pot? They don't have most of the chasidim are makpid on blias kelim. So if they're going to make gibrok, they're going to make knedlach on Er Pesach. So how are they going to use the pot on Leil Pesach? That's a shaila. What about egg mats? The Ramoah has a chumrah. The Beis Yosef writes that we eat egg mats. We're not choshish for the Shitas Rashi. Rashi's opinion is that May Paris, although the Gemara says that May Paris ain't machmitzim, Gemara says on the top line on Laman Heaven base, May Paris ain't machmitzim, if you mix the flour with May Peiro, so it's not Boladei Chimbutz, but the one the next daf says Fakirt, on Laman Vavim and Aleph. What is it the fairest that May Paris is not only Bola de Chimitz, it's even Memahe Lahachmitz. And it's risky. It could even be that you can't control it, and it could even be that if you mix the May Paris with flour, you have to Yisorek Miyad. Some Rishonim Patskan like that time, that Yisorek Miyad. Rabbi Gamliel Oim, it's Yisorek Miyad. So here they have the Tzion on the letter, right in the middle of Lamed Vav and Aleph. They have the Tzion Gimel on the word Yeochel. That's how we paskin. But other Rishonim paskin, I think the Bahav paskins, like the first time of Rav Gamliel says, Tisorif Miyad. That it's so Mimayla Hachmetz that we are concerned that maybe we can't even control it. You have to burn it right away. So Rashi has that Kasha, Lamed Vav and Aleph. How can it be? If the Gemara says on the top line, Lamed Vav and Aleph, and May Peri say Machmitzim, it doesn't become Chometz. So how can the Gemara say over here that not only is it Machmetz, it's Mimayla Hachmetz? What's going on? So Rashi, that's the Taisus on the top of Laman Hamad base, the first long Taisus. May Peris and Machmitz. So they give two answers, Rashi's answer and Taisus' answer. Rashi's answer is that May Peris and Machmitz means it'll never become Chometz, Dog, and Gomer. Chometz is a process. It's not one split second that up until then is Matzah, and then after that becomes Chometz. He said 18 minutes. Less than 18 minutes is nothing, and after 18 minutes right away is Chometz? No. Less than 18 minutes is nothing. After 18 minutes is right to nothing. We're going to think about it. We'll think about it for another couple of hours. And then the chimitz process begins. And then after a couple of hours, kuli habiyulai. And then it may turn into chometz. And it's not all grains. It's not all grains. Someone was just telling me that the United States government, the Department of Agriculture, just made a study, that the grain in America is so schwach now, for some reason or another, that the ground is so weak, that American flour that was grown in America, if you mix it with water, you let it sit for 24 hours, it's not going to become chometz. Israeli flour is, even though the Israeli flour came from America, but the soil in Eretz Yisrael has not been weakened yet. But the soil in America, they told me, is so weakened that it can sit for 24 hours, it won't be bothered by chometz. So that's what someone asked Akasha, so how is it good for matzah? The Gemara says it's only good for matzah if it's bothered by chometz. We'll talk about it. Could be if you let it sit for 24 weeks, it will become chometz. So then it is bala dechus, it has to be bala dechimitz in 24 hours. But even if not, okay, we'll have to talk about that. So again, on this kasha, the Gemara says here on the top line, Alam and Hamid base, they made Peri say machmitz, and here it says that not only is it machmitz, it's nimala hachmitz. So Rashi explains like this, that the chimitz has a process. We discussed it a few times based on the Mishnah. The process has a beginning stage, and the process has an end stage. When is it Tchilas HaChimetz process? When is it Gemar HaChimetz? And there's a Machlokes from Meir Rav Yehuda on both. When is it Tchilas HaChimetz process? Seor is called the Tchilas HaChimetz. A Mem Ches on the base, the last Mishnah. The two Mishnahs on Mem Ches on the base. So the second Mishnah has a Machlokes Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. When is Seor and when is Siduk? Seor is the Tchilas HaChimetz and when is Siduk? So there's a Machlokes HaTanai, whatever it is. There are Shiurim. So Rashi says that May Peres Ei Machmitzim means it'll never reach the ultimate stage. It'll never become Chometz, Dog, and Gomer. But the Chometz process will begin. And not only will it begin, if you wait an hour, it'll begin Memar LaHachmitz. Atzkidei Kach, the Rabbi Gamliel holds Tisorot Miyad. that it begins so fast that you can't even watch it, even if you think that you have it under control, you can't watch it at all. We don't pass like that. We pass in l'chatchila, you shouldn't do it, but b'yevid yeyachol. But b'yevid you can't control. That's Rashi's shita. Taisa disagrees with Rashi, and Taisa says that it's absolutely not correct, that the Gemara seems to imply in more than one place that May Peretz is hefegomer. May Peretz is not even bodily day. Chilas achimetz is called chomis nukshin. The Rashi holds that May Peretz and achimetz means it won't become chomis dogen gomer, but it will become chomis nukshin. Taisa says no. From the Gemara's mashma, May Peretz is nothing but nothing. Nothing is going to happen. Hefegomer. I think Gemara says lamed vavam and aleph that May Peretz is memala hachmas. That's only if you have May Peretz together with water. So just that May Peretz alone is nothing. So the Beis Yosef writes in the Shulchan Aruch when he quotes this simon about May Peretz ein achimetzim. Says Tuv Shulchan Aruch Sham. Where's Tuv Shulchan Aruch Sham? Tav Sama Beis. Should be in Tav Sama Beis. So the Beis Yosef writes that he never heard that anyone's machmir for Rashi in all of our countries. By the Sfarad we eat egg matzahs. We eat matzahs that are made with May Peretz. As long as you didn't mix in any water with the May Peretz, it's not boiling the chimetz at all. So there's nothing, no problem. And the Ramah writes on the bottom of the page, in the Darkei Moshe, Ramah writes, Avo b'medina seilu, but by the Ashkenazim, in the Minhogim they have like that. Minhogim are Rabbi Isaac Tirin, and the others that they write that our minig is that we're choshish for Rashi. Mikra din, we don't pass like Rashi. But we're choshish for Rashi. How do you know Mikra din, we don't pass like Rashi? Because the Ramah says that even though we don't eat egg matzahs and so on with May Peretz, but the Cholim is Kenim, we are matzahs. So what is he matzah for Cholim is Kenim? He's choshish esh b'sakona. No, Chodesh Esh B'Sakona, you can eat chametz also if it's necessary. It's Kenim. It means it's a slight, it's not even a Chodesh Esh B'Sakona. It doesn't mean a Chodesh Esh B'Sakona is a halachic category, al pi din. It means either Chodesh Kol Gufa Muta L'Mishka. The Ramah doesn't require Chodesh Kol Gufa Muta L'Mishka. A Chodesh B'Mikza, Chodesh Esh B'Sakona, it means if there's any Shas HaTchak, so then you make it. You see, clearly the thing is only a Chum. We're not sure exactly what this process of chimutz is as opposed to the process of sirchon. Because some argued the point and they said that the potatoes should be considered chametz dogen gomer. Not just like the chayyadim, that potatoes should be kidneyous. And even that opinion wasn't accepted. Others argued that the chemical reaction that occurs when you mix together potato starch with water is so similar to that of flour and water, it should be chametz dogen gomer. The Gemara says they didn't have a tradition halacha. It doesn't appear that they had a tradition halacha on Moshe Sinai that it's only the chameshis mini dogon that constitute the lechem. The Gemara says that it's based on a din, and that's why there is machlokes abich menurin hachamim. What do you say about eruz v'doichen? And Yerushalmi asked the kasha, how can you have a machlokes hatanoim? Why don't they experiment and see? Well, it's bavei chimutz abole de shirchen. So Yerushalmi Chala says they did experiment, and it came out to be something in between. They knew what shirchen. They knew what constitutes shirchen. They knew what constitutes shirchen. Doesn't mean that it stinks, that it smells, that it's awful. Some other different reaction, a different chemical reaction. They saw what Tzirchen is, they saw the Chimutz is, and they saw that there is Vedechen and something in between. And they argued, where do you draw the line? So Vechem and Nuri said, draw the line over there. So the Oiriz Vedechen belongs together with the Chameshis Mini Dogen. There are seven Mini Dogen. And the Chachamim disagreed. They said, no, you draw the line over here. So this chemical reaction that occurs after the Oiriz Vedechen with the water, that belongs in the other category. So we don't know exactly what this chemical reaction is supposed to correspond to. So that's why we don't know how to determine whether things are boladei chimutz or not. We mentioned before there's a big debate in the Rishonim and in the Achronim regarding this halacha that it has to be boladei chimutz. That it has to be boladei chimutz. Is this just for the purpose of being koveh the min to determine which grains constitute grain? And then once you know that grain is one of the dogon, then you can bake matzahs from that grain, even if you're going to bake it in such a way that it'll never be bothered. Even if you use such a part of the grain that it will certainly not every part of the grain is necessarily bala dechima. So should you say no? Let's say, and every grain, sometimes they have on the big boxes of wheat, so they have a picture of the kernel of grain, and they show you what the wheat germ is. My children see from me the pictures as they eat their breakfast cereal. But sometimes they have what do you call the outside, the shell? What is it called?
Endosperm.
And then it has a wheat germ inside, and then it has a different parts. So the Shabbos, whether all of these things are bala dechimus, are only some of them. In the Mishnah, the shell is called murson. The shell of the grains is called murson. So the Mishnah Chala says that in order to be chayim chala, you have to have a minimum of flour mixed in with the water. You have to have a certain minimum. Chamesh is roi kamachiyot. An omer, asiris reifon. So if you have isas midbar, the amount of grain that they used to have in the midbar, that amount of mon per person every day, if you mix that with water, then you'll be chayim chala. If you mix less, it's not. The mice in America, usually it's assumed that between 3 and 5 pounds of flour, you mafresh chala with the bracha, and more than 5 pounds of flour, mafresh chala with the bracha. It's a very inaccurate shear, this 3 and 5 pounds of flour, because it depends how fluffy it is. It all depends how much air there is. Anyway, but that's the minute. Share a minute. The 3 pounds is not some meduyik, and 5 pounds is not some meduyik. Sometimes you need a little more than 5 pounds, sometimes you need 5.5 pounds. That's the minute. Between 3 and 5 pounds of flour, you mafresh without a broch, and less than 3 pounds, people are not mafresh at all. More than 5 pounds, they mafresh challah with a broch. So the Mishnah says, what about the murson? What about the shell of the grain? Is that mitzaref to the shear or not? So the Mishnah makes a distinction. If you have whole wheat grain means that they left on the shells. And if they remove the shells, that's the way most of the flour that they sell in the store has the shells removed. So the Mishnah says, if they ground up the grain with the shells, then the mursan is mitztarif to be mashkin and the shear. Everything is mitztarif yachas. But if they removed the shells and then they threw them back in, or they threw some of them back in, and they threw all, even if they threw them all back in, it's exactly the same proportion as it was before, so then they're not mitztarif. Once the shells were removed and you throw them back in, it's not going to be mitztarif for the shear chal. So what kind of a din is that? That's the question. What kind of a halacha is that? So some pasuk say it's based on the Rishalmi, the Rishonim on the Achala quote the Rishalmi there, that it's not normal to remove the shells and put them back in, is not normal. So therefore, since it's not a normal thing, it's not mitzvah. Very shmei, why should it not be mitzvah? Because it's not normal. And what if it became normal? Let's say now it became normal. Sometimes they'll tell you exactly by whole wheat bread, by whole wheat cookies, sometimes they'll tell you what percent of it is brand. Isn't it called an English brand? The Balabatim call it brand. That's the scientists call it endocrine, whatever it is. But other people call it the brand. So they'll sometimes tell you what percentage is brand, and it doesn't really correspond to what percentage it should have been. The reason why is because they removed all the shells, then they threw back a certain percentage of them. They didn't throw them all back in. So if it became the minikam dina that people do it, so what do you mean the Mishnah is telling us that it's not normal? It became that it is normal. It became normal. What do you mean it's not normal? The Mishnah tells you that there is what's called normal, what's called not normal. So that's why other poskim learn a little differently. It's not necessarily in steerit to the Yerushalmi. It could be that this is what the Yerushalmi meant. Other poskim say like this, that whatever the chemical reaction is when you mix flour with water, that chemical is bala dechimus as opposed to sirchon, some other chemical reaction. That chemical reaction only comes about when you mix the kernel of grain with water. When you mix the shell with water, it won't occur. The shell is, the Bogan Avram has two pshatim about this, based on the Ramban and Pesachim. One pshat is that the brian, the murison, is not bola dechimus. So it's not bola dechimus. So how is it mitztarif to be mashlim for the purpose of the shir kala? And it's mitztarif for the shir kezayis for matzah. It's mitztarif for the shir kezayis for hamoitzi and for falim filas yadayim and for birchas hamazon and so on. So the answer is that kolzman that you didn't separate it, even though it's not bola dechimus, that's talocha, that it's part of the doga. Once you separated it, even if you put it back in again, once it's separated, it's not really part of the doga because it's taka not bola dechimus. If it would have been bola dechimus, I wouldn't care if you separated me, threw it back in, or it's there originally. But because the murson, the bran, is not the shell, is not bola dechimus. matzah. Then it's a special din kolzman that it wasn't separated. Then it's dino, you know, like you said, by the meperis, like you pointed out the pillar. The meperis is 95% H2O, so it's the same H2O as you have in that you get from the faucet. So nonetheless, kolzman that it's naturally in the state of meperis, I say it's not called mine, it's called meperis. And if I separate the water and I throw it back in, even though I reconstituted it and it's exactly the same proportion, same kind of meperis that it was before, that's different. I say no, now it's 95% water. And if milachatchila has the meperis and 95% water, I say no, it's all meperis. That's the status, halacha status of meperis. You have a lot of things like that. So that's what the that's what Rav Soloveitchik understood that Mishnah, that the Murison really is not Bola Dechimutz. That's one day in the Magen Avraham and the Ramban, the Murison is not Bola Dechimutz. But nonetheless, Kozman that it's still Mechuba Yachad with the kernels of grain, so that's the halacha, that it's been starved because it's all together. Once you separated it, then you throw it back in, then I say, since it's not Bola Dechimutz, so it's not Mitzvah. So this is the question, what do you mean? If it's not Bola Dechimutz, if the shell is not Bola Dechimutz, even if you didn't separate it, so why should it be mitztaref to the shir challah? Why should it be mitztaref to the shir kizayis for matzah for the purpose of birchas hamazon? Why does the Mishnah say kozman that it wasn't separated, it wasn't detached? It's mashlin the shir. So this is a question. It could be, it's a little unclear. It could be that the halacha that you have to have bole dechimutz is not really a din in each and every individual isod, that it has to be bole dechimutz. It could be that it's just kaveya. Which min is called dogon and which min is not called dogon? So after I've detached it, say the shells are not bole dechimutz, so that's not part of the dogon. Because man, that it's attached, even though this particle, this part of the grain, namely the shell of the grain, is not bole dechimutz, but still, since it's all attached and it's one unit, so I say that's all the same min. Maybe it depends on the min. So let's say even if you'll talk a half grain, even if the American Department of Agriculture, the American government, will determine that the American grain is so schwach now that it's not bole dechimutz at all. Not only if you'll soak it for 24 hours, even if they'll ascertain that they'll soak it for a year and it won't be bole dechimutz. It could be that it'll still be good, because maybe the whole thing of bole dechimutz just depends on to be kaveh the min. Is this a min dog, and is this the correct min dog, and is it not the correct min dog? It could be that it doesn't necessarily relate to each and every individual iso, that if this iso is possibly bole dechimutz, then the lechem that I'll bake from it will be dina ke lechem, and it'll be chai ben chalo, and it'll be yotzei derech vasta be Pesach, and so on. That's a big machlokes. How do you read the Gemara? Anyway, getting back again. In order to fulfill the mitzvah matzah, it has to be lechem oini. In order to be called lechem oini, it has to be number one lechem, and it has to be number two lechem oini. It has to be oini. In order to be called lechem, it has to correspond to the hilchos lechem and kol haterukulo. So that's the question, what constitutes lechem? So klal number one is, has to be bole dechimutz. That's what the Gemara says, has to be bole dechimutz, not for hilchas Pesach. Not only for hilchas Pesach. One might have thought, oh, it's only chometz and matzah and kashrus. No, it's a din called terakula. If it's not bole dechimutz, it's not called lechem for a chi of chalo. It's not called lechem for any intents and purposes. It has to be bole dechimutz. That's one klal. Number two, the Gemara learns that, that's learned out from a pasuk. On Laman Hamad Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud, it quotes a pasuk from Dvarim Tezayin. Lo yisachol alo chamashim ha-shem tochol alo matzah. Dvarim ha-barim ha-dei chimutz, ha-dum yed tzidach ha-vasa vet matzah. Yotzu el ha-shem barim ha-dei chimutz. And this pasuk is the mocker for the Mishnah Chala. Not just the mocker for the Mishnah Psoch in Laman Hamad, it's the mocker for the Mishnah Chala. That if you make a bread, cake or cookies from other flowers, you're not chayim ha-chala, because it's not called lechem and called ha-terukul. The Gemara has another condition. In order to be called lechem, the pasuk says in the Teichecha on Lamed Zayin on the base, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Vayikra Chavav. Ofu es anoshim lachmechem betanur echod, that the women will bake their bread in one oven. The Teichecha is saying that there's going to be such bad times that they won't have anything to eat. So 10 women will be able to bake their bread in one oven at the same time. Each one will have a mashu. There won't be anything. They'll be starving. They'll be dying from hunger. So the pasuk is part of the teichach, it's a curse, but derech agav, even from the curses that the Rabbanu Shalom speaking, even from the curses, from the blessings, everything we learn out of halachas. So the Rabbanu Shalom implied to us a din, which is relevant for chiyuv chala, which is relevant for mitzvahs matzah, only lechem ha'afoy betan or kori lechem. Lechem sh'anafoy betan or ain't a kori lechem. It's only called lechem if it had an afir in a tanur. If you have lechem sh'afoy bechama, more has an amid aleph. If you bake your bread in the sun, it wouldn't work here in New York. You can't bake the bread in the sun. The sun means if you're in the Sahara Desert or something, and it's not as burning hot, and you bake your bread in the sun, so you wouldn't be chayv and chalav. And it wouldn't be kosher. Usually baking in the sun is going to become chametz. So let's say you baked it in the sun and it baked so quickly, it didn't become chametz. Far-fetched case. The Gemara says it wouldn't be good for matzah, because it's not called lechem by definition. In order to be considered lechem, it has to be offered the tanur. Exactly what constitutes a tanur? Only a General Electric tanur. And what if it's a Teddy Rana or something else? What company, what make constitutes a tanur? So the Gemara has a whole discussion about that. Machlek Sabechem Ishlofish goes from Lam Zainam and Aleph to Lam Zainam and Beis. What's called a tanur? But that's a Xeris HaKosov that you need Dafka Fiyat. You have to say it's Lab Dafka. It has to be in tanur. There are special dinim of tanur, mishnayis kelim. There are special dinim. Tanur b'kiran yutos is a special din, even though it's mechuba lekarka, it's mekabel tuma. So there is a special halacha of tanur. Other kelim that are mechuba lekarka, not mekabel tuma. Only tanur b'kiran yutos, despite the fact that it's mechuba lekarka. So there are rules and regulations. And the mishnayis kelim and the gemara in the end of Shabbos, the gemara quotes it. How do you determine what's a tanur? But here the Gemara says it's not a din of tanur. It's just a din you need an afia. Afia in the sun is not called an afia. It has to be either tanur or dumi the tanur. Lav davke tanur. It has to be dumi the tanur. So the Gemara says, all machlokes, Rabbi Yechon Ishlokish, what's considered dumi the tanur? Then there's another prat in Hilchas Lechem and Kolatar Kula. What determines that it's lechem? How long did you bake it? If you only baked it till you made it edible, but it's still very raw, sometimes the chayes will get. Sometimes your mother will bake challahs, and then on Shabbos you'll be pulling the challah, and you have raw strands in the middle. So that al pidin is not called lechem. Not only is it chametz, not only is it a problem of chametz, or your lungs don't problem of chametz, but the Gemara says the problem is not called lechem. The muzzle is that the outer parts are crusty already, so the outer parts are not chutim nimshachim hemena, but the parts that are chutim nimshachim hemena. So that's not called lechem. The inside part is not called lechem. That's what the Gemara says. Now, Laman Zayinam and Aleph, four lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes a braisa. Toshma, it says, Yaitzim matzahina. The matzahina means that it's a little bit raw, like it says, Al Techlam hemena no. Rashi quotes, Al Techlam hemena no means that it's not afuyo kol sarko. Tachmen and Noah goes on the Korban Pesach. That it's not Mubashel, it's called circle. It's not well done. It's still half raw. So too, just like meat that's half done, it's called Noah. So if the matzahs are only half done, they're called matzahs hina. The same as Noah. If they're not fully baked. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You yotze the matzahs hina. You yotze even though it's not fully baked. So how baked does it have to be just in order that it should be roi l'achila? Can you roil achil at an early stage? So the Gemara says no. The klal is it depends. Amar Avido Amar Shmuel, second line from the bottom of Lam Zayin. And out kol shet parso, if you break your matzahs, vein chutim nimshachim hemena. If you break the matzah, you start ripping it apart, and if you won't see raw dough going like this, when you take it out of the oven, four matzahs are like that. Unless you do like the chassidim or like the brisket, that you bake it till it's mamish burnt. It's burnt to a crisp. It's burnt alive. So then the moment you take it out of the oven, you won't have any chutim nimshach. But all normal matzah, the minute you take it out of the oven, if you're going to start pulling like this, it's all going to be like that. All freshly baked matzah is going to be like that. What it means is if you bake your matzahs and they're sitting there, they cooled off already. And after they cooled off, down to room temperature, then you're going to break it, then you're going to pull it apart. So then you determine then whether it's chutim nimshach hemen or not. Others have this... misconception that chutim nimshachim is determined the moment after the second after you baked it in the oven. So that's the chassidish kpeda, the brisket kpeda, that has to be mamish burnt to a crisp. That's not normal matzah. Yeah, very often it will be an erei l'achila. That's not a klal in hilchas lechem, but that's a klal in hilchas oichel. It's not erei l'achila sodom, so it's not called oichel, so it can't be called lechem. The matzah has to be roi l'achila. His mom is burnt matzahs, and then some people enjoy the crisp parts, like toast. So the toasted part of the matzah they enjoy better. Okay, that's one thing. You have a big matzah, the toasted part you enjoy better. But if you have mamish black charcoal, even if you enjoy it, but charcoal is not matzah. And if some achila soda, you're not yaitzi with that. You can be yotzer with the crispy parts, but you can't be yotzer with the burnt parts. So that's another condition. It has to be. This is a condition not only because it may be chametz. It's a din in the Gemara says it's a din in lachmei toida. It's a din in lachmei toida. Chalas toida v'kikinoz. It's a din in kol ha'tar kula and in shem lechem. It only has a shem lechem if you baked it so long. Not only baked it so long till it's rei lachilas. No, you baked it so long till it's ein chutim nimshachem heimer. Otherwise, it's not called lechem in kol ha'tar kula. Then what happens if you baked it and it's called lechem, everything's fine, and then you liquefied it? Mecheu legamai, so that's the Gemara that we learned. We learned this the other day, no? We discussed it? Mecheu legamai, in the bottom of Lamed Hei Amid Aleph, the Gemara quotes a braisa from Chul and Kufcha, four lines from the bottom. Mecheu legamai. If you took a loaf of bread, and you soaked it in water until it liquefied, and then you drank it. So it says, if it's matzah, you're not yotzei yideh chavasa. So Rashi writes, lav derech achilu kochale. So some say, lav derech achilu means, shluk derech achilasa. Just like in macholas asura, shluk derech achilasa. There's no isa deraisa. So mitzvah is also, shluk derech achilasa, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. That's how the Mishnah Melech understood the Rashi. And others say, no, what he meant to say was, achila versus shtia. Lav derech achilu means, if you do shtiyah, it's no good. Someone goes with this last week. So someone asked the question, but shtiyah is bechlal achila. That's what it says in Chulin Kufchav. On the other half of the braisa, if you drink schnapps or you drink beer on Pesach, so why are you rov anisa chametz? If the Torah says you're not allowed to eat chametz, but you're not eating, you're drinking. So the Gemara explains this braisa, that shtiyah bechlal achila. So why shouldn't you say the same regarding the matzah? So the pashtus of the answer is that if it's imchehu, if you liquefied it, so it doesn't have a shem lechem anymore. Just like if you have chutim nimshachem heimen, so it doesn't have a tzuris hapas. There's a din of tzuris hapas, so it should have a shem lechem. There are two din of tzuris hapas. The Gemara only has the concept of tzuris hapas when it gets to hamotzi versus mezainis. The Gemara says if it doesn't have tzuris din hamar, if it doesn't have tzuris hapas, then it's mezainis. But still, the Gemara says if you eat enough of that stuff, then it becomes hamotzi. You could there see it. In other words, it really is lechem. It really is lechem. But Tosis adds on another klal. Tosis adds on another concept of Teresa the Nama. If it doesn't have Tzuras HaPas, not even Chayim Chala. Let's say oatmeal cereal, or Wheaties. It doesn't have Tzuras HaPas at all. You can eat as much as you want. Wheatina. You can have as much as you want. You'll never say how much. It doesn't have a Tzuras HaPas. So that's the pashtus over here. It doesn't have a Tzuras HaPas. Imcheihu v'gomai. It doesn't have a Tzuras HaPas at all. Imcheihu v'gomai is the same as Chutim nimshochem heimeno. They're both not called lechem because it doesn't have a tzuris hapas. One never had a tzuris hapas in the first place because he didn't bake it long enough. The other one had a tzuris hapas, but it lost it, it forfeited it because he liquefied it. So if you liquefied it, it's no good. It lost its tzuris hapas. So din in lechem and kol ha'tar kula. Then the Gemara has a din, lechem oni, rat lecholud va'ashisha. That's on Lamed Vav on the base on the first wide line. Tana Rabbanan, where is it? Three lines before the wide line. Tana Rabbanan, Lechemani Pat Lecholet Vashisha, and they say, maybe means this? No. Lechemani Pat Lecholet Vashisha. So there's a big Machlekes HaRishonim over here. What does that mean? Tesis on the bottom of the Daf, and the Tesis in Yevamis has, and the Balamor has. Rishonim have two pshatim on this. Some Rishonim say the brayis is being memai from the word lechem and from the word oini. The word lechem is memai tcholut, and the word oini is memai tashisha. The other Rishonim say no, lechem oni goes together. It means lechem oni prat lematzo ashira. And both cholut vashisha are nismayit because it's not called lechem, because it's not called oini. They both are called lechem. They both are called lechem. Cholut vashisha, both lechem, but they're both forms of matzo ashira. That's the big machlokes of Rishonim. That's the big machlokes of Rishonim. If you have matzah mevushelas, I take a matzah and I cook it. So that's cholut. Cholut doesn't really mean I took a matzah and I cooked it. Pasha pshat cholut means I took the flour and I cooked it. I never baked it in the first place. I took the flour and I cooked it. So the pashtus says that that's cut. That's not called lechem, because in order to be called lechem, you have to have afiyah betanur. So if you did a bishul, the lashkin, it's not called, it's not an afiyah betanur. Yishol B'mashkin is the opposite of Afiyah B'tan. So that's the one opinion, that's the one shot in Rishayim. The Cholot is nismite from the word Lechem, and Ashisha is nismite from the word Oni. What is Ashisha? The Gemara says, Echad Mishisha Be'eifon, three lines from the bottom of the Omud. How much is that? How much is an Eifon? An Eifon has three saw, just a calculation. A saw has six kavim, a kav has four lugim, and a lug has six beitzim. So if you multiply all of that, so it comes out that what? How do you multiply? 3 times 6 times 4 times 6. Does anybody multiply? 432? I'll take your word for it. 432 beitzim in an eifah. And this is echad mishisha be'eifah. A sixth of an eifah. So take 432 and divide it by 6. So 72 beitzim. So if I made a matzah that's so gigantic that it has 72 beitzim in it, I don't plan to eat the whole matzah. But that matzah is called a matzah shir. So even if you break it up with 72 people, a beitzah, let's say, has two zeisim, I'll break it up for 144 people, and each one will get a kezayis, so it's no good. No one's yaitzeh, because that's called matzah shir. No, Baruch Hashem, they don't make matzah so big. Who makes that? That's what it says, you make small matzahs. You make tiny matzahs compared to this. Who makes a matzah that has 72 beitzim? Not that you crack open 72 eggs, that has the volume. That the matzah has the volume of 72 beitzim. We don't make such big matzahs. That's why it's in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam puts. You got to be careful to make smaller size matzahs, not to make anything near. We're not so sure how big the beitzim are, so maybe the beitzim are smaller, maybe the beitzim are bigger. We're not sure exactly what. So you got to make sure that you don't make anything that's anywhere near 72 beitzim. If it's too big as the matzah ashira. No, so we don't. That's not a problem. The Gemara has various forms of matzah ashira. This is one form. If it's too big, it's too large a size, echad mishisha be'efor, then it's called an ashisha, and ashisha is a matzah ashir. So that's clear that it has a shame matzah, but has a shame lechem, but it's a matzah ashir. But the cholut, that's the machlokes harishonim. What did the Gemara mean to say? So the bottom tesis on Lamed Vav and Vav says, they read the brayis and mashman, the cholut habi lechem, el de habi lechem, moini, it's matzah ashira, a matzah mubashelis is a matzah ashira. And Tosis has a kasha, ach kasha, the Gemara Yevamos Daf Mem seems to say whether it's lechem kriin and bayah, it's not called lechem. So it seems for the Gemara that the issue is it lechem, is it not lechem? Not an issue whether it's oini or matzah ashira, lechem oini versus matzah ashira. That's the machlokes harishonim, how to read the brayis. So some say that cholut means I never did an afiyah. I'd rather say, even if you did do an afiyah, we discussed it already, even if you did do an afiyah, what if I take a matzah and I cook it after having done an afiyah? So the Gemara says, a mem aleph am an aleph, if you have a matzah, luvu sheles, it's no good. Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim, right smack in the middle of mem aleph am an aleph. Tanya. Yotzim birokit hashori, gibroks, shori, gibroks in Yiddish. So that's called shruya. Matzah shruya is called gibrox in Yiddish. Yotzim birokik hasharui. If you soak your matzah in water, so the Brisa says that you can be yotzim in the mitzvah. If that person can't chew, teeth are falling apart, and the matzah is very hard, so you soak it in water, so it says that it's okay. And the first Tana holds ube mevushal, even if you cook the matzah, is also good, provided shaloni moach dibrameh. As long as it didn't disintegrate, if it disintegrated, so it doesn't have a tzuras apats. So that's in Chayav Gomer, that's not good. It doesn't have a shame lechem. Rabbi Yosi Yemer, Rabbi Yosi disagrees. The first step he's masking, Yerti Miraka Kashori. Abuloi b'mavush lafpi shuloi nimoya. So in this machlegs from Meir Rabbi Yosi, Allahik Rabbi Yosi. Nimoya has a klal in Erevim. Whenever there's machlegs from Meir Rabbi Yosi, we paskin like Rabbi Yosi. So what's it din like Rabbi Yosi? That you only Yerti Miraka Kashori. Abuloi b'mavush lafpi shuloi nimoya. So that's the shayla. Why not? What's wrong with a mavushal if it's loi nimoya? It still retains the tzuras hapas. Why shouldn't it still be called Hashem Lechem? So that's what Taisus has, the two pshatim. Taisus here with the Rabbeinu Yair and Brachas quote. Some Rishonim say that a matzah mevusheles is matzah ashira. Very meforish. That the reason why it's not good is because of matzah ashira. And the other Rishonim say, no, this little text, the mem aleph am an aleph, the maschav aloy ben mevushal. What's wrong? Why do we pass them like Rabbi Yosi, that a matzah mevushalis is no good, afal pi shalei nemach, if nemach, it no longer has a tzuras hapas. it doesn't have a shame lechem. But if it's mevushal v'loinimoyach, so why doesn't it retain the shame lechem? So the Rish says that it does retain the shame lechem, but it's a matzah ashira. Cholut means mevushal. Cholut is the same thing as mevushal. We cooked it. So the Rish learns that it's matzah mevushal. And the Rashi learns, Tosis quotes, Pirush HaKoreinu, the bishul mevatalei mitoras lechem. How did he do that trick? The bishul is mevatalei mitoras lechem? I take a matzah and I cook it, it becomes ois lechem. How is that? So Tosis explains, Agan Tepshav, because Yesh bishul achmar afi yadis rab lezim imitz, it's mocker from this gemara, it's quoted in the Hilchos Shabbos. The Yesh bishul, even though in bishul achat bishul, in afi achmar afi, but if you have different form, then you say Yesh bishul achat afi, Yesh afi achat bishul, and so on. So Yesh bishul achmar afi. So if you did a bishul to the matzah, if they already had its afiyah in the factory, I'm going to do a bishul now at home, so the bishul cancels the afiyah. So I'm left with a matzah that never had an afiyah. Matzah that never had an afiyah is no good, because it doesn't have a shame lechem, because the din is awful esen oshem lachmachem etan rechod. Then in order to be called lechem, it has to have an afiyah. If it didn't have an afiyah, it's not called lechem. Then Tosis starts adding on a little bit. That's already the Rabbi Natan. Well, the Perusha Mairin, according to Rashi, that the Bishul is Mabatuli Afiyah, and you're left with a Lechem, without an Afiyah, it's not called Lechem. So Taisus claims that that's only if it had a Blila Rako, if it had a Blila Ovo, it wouldn't be a problem. That's all within Taisus sheet. That's a different Taisus on earlier. That's a Taisus sheet on an earlier doctor. It makes a difference whether it had Blila Ovo or Blila Rako. So that's on Laman Zainam and Beis. But these are the two Pshatim in the Gemara. What's wrong? Rabbi Yosi Shita, that the Matzim of Rishalis is no good for the mitzvah. We pass on Rabbi Yosi against Rabbi Meir. And then Mal from Anal. So that's the two Pshatim in Taisus. What's wrong? Is it because it's Matzah Ashira? Or is it because it doesn't have a Shem Lechem at all? Because Yesh Bishul Achar Afiyah. And then maybe the Bishul is Mevatel Afiyah, so it's left, doesn't have a Shem Lechem at all. There is a machloikis hatanoim in Mishnah Yischala. Is a person chayv and chala if you mix, let's say your mother makes cake or cookies and she mixed only juices, she didn't mix any water in at all. So there's a machloikis hatanoim whether you chayv and chala. And it was a machloikis harishayim in the earlier generation. And the Yozura writes that the Machlekes repeated itself in later generations, and they had already forgotten that it was Machlekes of Rishonim in earlier generations had a task. And interesting, whether Isa Sheni Losha B'mei Peres is Chayv and Chala or not. In Shulchan Aruch they quote the Midas Chassidus of the Maharam Rutenberg, that whenever you're mixing flour with Mei Peres, you should always put in a few drops of water so that L'chol Ades you'll be Chayv and Chala. The question is whether that does the trick. What is accomplished by mixing in a few drops of water? If you have 5 pounds of flour and you have 4 drops of water, the 4 drops of water will not be able to do any lisha and the 5 pounds of flour without the assistance of the Mei Peres. So this Dagonish, the lotion that they use in Shulchan Aruch, you should put in a few drops of water, that is very misleading. It sounds like a few drops solves the problem. My impression is that the Avni Nezer has a very brief paragraph to solve 25 problems. He writes, Bikita Nimitz, Ashtikul Tera, I think he holds that that's not to be taken literally, that you put in a few drops of water. I think he holds that you have to put in so much water that you would have been able to do the Lisha with the water alone. So then I say, okay, so Dalmi Hacha, so you ignore the fact that you have so much May Peres, the fact that you have water, makes it that you did the lisha with water. But if the few droplets of water wouldn't be enough to do the lisha, to need the whole thing without the assistance of the Mei Peres, then you're not out of the forest yet. You're still in the Machlekes HaTanoim, in the Machlekes HaRishon, whether you chayv and chal or not. You still have a stake in the dinah, whether you chayv and chal or not. So what's the issue over there? Whether you have Isa Sheni Losha and Mei Peres, whether you chayv and chal or not. The Rambam seems to hold that not. The Rambam is not explicit. He has the dinim in Hilchas Bikurim, I think. But he writes all the dinim of Chala. So he only talks, he's careful. He never talks about Isa Sheni Losha B'mei Peres. That's about Isa Sheni Losha B'yayin Shem and Dvash Cholov, which are one of the Zayin Mashkim. Rishalmi says if you use one of the Zayin Mashkim, that was the raiva that we had the other day when we were learning the Sugi Reb Chanina's Gan HaKoinim. So we came across a raiva in Perek Aleph and Hilchas Tumas Seichlin. It was a machlekes, the Ramam and the raiva. There are only four things that are makabel tum in the whole wide world. Odom, Mikhailim, Ochlam, and Mashkim. So the question is, which mashkim are makabel tumah? So there are only zayin mashkim that the halacha recognizes as mashkim for the purpose of hechsher zroim, in order to rinse off an apple, in order to rinse off food, that it should be hukshel makabel tumah. So the halacha only recognizes the yad shachadam, the seven mashkim, the special seven mashkim. So only those are called mashkim, and others are not, do not have the status of mashkim. So what about in another area of halacha? And we declare that only four things are makabel tumah: other mekalim, ochel, and mashkim. How do you define mashkim over there? Also only zayin mashkim? But he's saying no. Apple juice also called a mashkim. Orange juice also called a mashkim. So that was a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raiva. So the Rambam writes, I think, that only the zayin mashkim are makabel tumah, just like only the zayin mashkim are makshel makabel tumah. Only the zayin mashkim are makabel tumah. The others are not called ochel, they're not orange juice and grapefruit juice and apple cider and everything else. It's not oichel, it's not mashke, it's not adam, it's not kev, so it's not mekabel tumah, period. That's a machleg is the Rambam and the Ravid. So the Ravid says, what is he talking about? That the special status of Zayin Mashkim, the Rambam Perek Aleph and Tumas Ochem Halacha Dalet, Ein Shom Mashke, it's an Arabic form, Ein Shom Mashke. In Hebrew you say, there is no, Ein Shom Mashke. That's a translation, like we write Hebrew, translating from English. That's what the Rambam did over here. This is not Mishnei Kibur. Ein Shom Mashke Shemekabel Tumah El Shivas HaMashkim Shemanina Bovad Aval Shair Mei Peres Keder Shein Machshirim Kachei Mekabel Tumah Klal. That's the Rambam. And there's a long Ravid on the first page in Tumas Ochlim in Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet. Lo Matzasi, I never heard of Avram, Lo Matzasi Shein Mekabel Tumah Klal. Never heard of such a thing. What I found in the Talmud Yerushalmi was, he says, and he quotes this big chunk from the Mishnah Yischala, that there's a Machleke Satanoim, whether is if you do Isa Shenilosha be made Paris, is it Chayv and Chala or not? So there are Tanoim and there are Rishonim and Paskin, Isa Shenilosha be made Paris is not Chayv and Chala. Why not? Only Zayin Mashkim. What's the significance of the Zayin Mashkim? Because he quotes, the Ravid explains based on the Yerushalmi. He says that he's not explaining, he's not interpreting, he's just quoting what it says in Yerushalmi. The issue is, let's say there's a long loaf of bread, an Italian bread, and I'm an Adam Tommy, I touch one end of the bread. So the halacha says, magabe mitzasa ke magabe kuloi. Since I touch this end, so the whole loaf of bread is one unit and the whole thing becomes tummy. If let's say there's a bowl full of Cheerios or Wheaties, and I touch one Wheaties, one piece, so that piece becomes tummy, the next piece is touching the first piece. So that's where Shaila, whether Oichel Matami Oichel. That's not, you wouldn't say Magma Mitzasa Kamagma Kulai. Because each Wheaties or each Cheerio is a separate unit. If you have one long loaf of bread, then it's one unit. So this halacha, that one loaf of bread is one unit, what if the bread was Nilosh, the May Paris? Instead of making a lisha with one of the Zayin Mashkim of water, normally, with any one of the Zayin Mashkim, what if it was Nilosh Bishar May Paris? So the Yerushalmi has a machlekes hatanaim about that. Whether it's mechaber, is it considered one unit? Only if it's, is it only considered one unit? It's only synthetically connected over here. An apple is avada one unit. That's the way it comes. A piece of flesh. That's the way it comes. That's the way it grows on the animal. Carrot. One carrot. That's the way it grows. You didn't glue together two parts of the carrot. Here we're talking, you took flour and you made it into one big dough, and then you baked it. So this is synthetically connected. So when is synthetic connection considered one unit that I say, Magdum Sasek Magdum Kulam? So one Tana Nirushalmi says, Machlek is in the Tesefta. One Tana says only if it's Nischabrai de Zayim Ashkim. Zayim Ashkim have the Kerech of Chibur. And any other made Paris other than Zayim Ashkim doesn't have the Kerech of Chibur. So that Machlek is Satanoi. Whether you say Magdum Sasek Magdum Kulam, the long Italian bread, which only was made with made Paris, that machlekes hatanaim is identical, the Yerushalmi says, with the machlekes hatanaim in the Mishnah with the Braise, whether cake or cookies that were made with May Paris are chayim and chala or not, because in order to be chayim and chala you have to have a shear. What do you mean a shear? If I mix a little bit here, a little bit there in two different continents, it's not mature. Has to be the same continent, has to be the same Isa, has to be together. What constitutes one Isa? If it's all had one lisha together. What do you mean one lisha together? If it's mechuber yachad. So if you hold, if you made it with any one of the Zayin Mashkim, the Zayin Mashkim are Mechaber. What about May Paris? On May Paris Mechaber, that it should be called one Isur, that the whole Shir Chala will be Mitzar. So that's the Machlokes Satanaim. That's what they write. It quotes from Yerushalmi and Chala. That's the Machlokes Satanaim. Same Machlokes been again to Magam and Mitzosi, Kamar and Kuloi, applies also over here. Then again to the
chiyuv chala. If he used any one of the zayin mashkin, then for sure it's mechamer. But mashkin, other than zayin mashkin, may peiris, that's a machlekes hatanoim, and the machlekes of Rishonim had a pasuk. So the Avnei Nezer, in his very brief paragraph, assumes the pshat in this Yerushalmi is the following. One need not necessarily learn like this, this is the way he learns. He learns, in order to have a Shem Lechem, you have to have a Lisha. That's a question number one. Who says that it's true? They make a new kind of bread now. I don't know if it's a bread or a cake. I never saw it. It was described to me that instead of taking kernels of grain and grinding them up and making flour, and then mixing the flour with water, moisturing, and baking it, they take the kernels of grain without grinding them up, and they blow on it a tremendous heat till it melts, till the kernel of grain melts. You can melt anything. You can melt metal, you can melt the blackboard, you can melt that, and glass. If you heat it hot enough, you can melt a person's body, anything you can melt. If you heat it hot enough. So they take the kernels of grain and they blow on it such a high degree heat till all of the kernels of grain melt, and then they bake it in the oven and then melt it into itself. And it melts into a... So the shaila is that called lechem? That you would say hamoitzi on it, or is that called lechem? Okay, can you say hamoitzi on it? That's a shaila. Is that called lechem to say hamoitzi? The question is, do you need lisha? One of the malachas of Shabbos is lisha, halosh. In order to be considered lisha, you have to mix tiny particles, tiny solid particles, with some moisture from the outside. Let's say I mash a banana, and I have a big paste now. That's by definition not called lisha. If you look at the Shmir Shabbos Kachos, he quotes from the Chazon Ish, that's not called lisha. Machlokes, it's called tchina. Chazon Ish, others hold that that's teichin. And others hold it's not called teichin. Machlokes. Whether mashing a banana is called teichin, but no one holds it as called lisha. In order to be defined as lisha, you have to introduce some mashkim ibachutz in order to hold the tiny particles together. If you just use the mashkim that it has been evei, the juice that you have, the moisture in the banana, the moisture in the thing itself, so that's not called lisha. So the shaila is here, in order to be considered lechem, is there a requirement for lisha? You see, in the Malacha Shabbos, you have the Sidur of the Pas. The Gemara says the first 11 malachas are Sidur of the Pas. So part of the Siddur to pass is Losh, and then you have Oifa. That makes it, the Lisha makes it into bread. Do you really need Lisha? In the sense of Hilchos Shabbos, where you find that you have to introduce an outside moisture to the flour in order that it should hold together? And if you didn't introduce any outside moisture, if you just heated it till it melted into itself, and it's in a shape, you put it into a plea, which has a shape, so that would be called, and you baked it like that, that would be called lechem, or not, that's a shadow. So Avnei Nezer assumes with Davar Pashut that in order to be called lechem, he claims that's what it said in the Yerushalmi that the Rabbi quoted here. This Yerushalmi from the Rabbi Perek Alfin from Masech, that in order to be called lechem, you need a lisha, and lisha is a machem. Lisha means it has to be an outside mashke, so the Avnei Nezer holds if you melt that thing, it'll never be hamoitzi and never be brichas hamaz and so on. And it's even a machlokes hatanoim, what if the outside mashke is not from the Zayin mashke? What if it's made peiris? Whether that qualifies for the lisha. If you hold that it's not mechaber, so then it doesn't qualify for the lisha. If you hold that it is mechaber, so it does qualify for the lisha. That's what it means, is it mechaber or not? Is it called lisha? If you hold that any mashke, any made peiris outside of the Zayin mashke, are not mechaber, that means that it's not called a lisha. The whole idea of lisha is it's only called lechem, it's only called fast. If it had a lisha, what does it mean a lisha? It had some kind of a mashka that was mechaber. I don't think you necessarily have to have something al pidin that's called a lisha. That's not what he means, l'mashal. Let's say on Shabbos, I'll take milk, and I'm going to make chocolate milk. So I'll take some of the chocolate powder and I'll stir it in. So the tiny particles are held together with the milk. So that's going to be a melacha lisha. Let's say I make instant tea or instant coffee. So I take granulated whatever, I mix it in together, I take whatever, I have a drink, I have tea already, I have water, and I mix in sugar. So now that all of the particles of sugar blend in together because of the mashka. It's not called lisha. There's a blila ova. Blila ova means a thick paste, a very thick dough. Then there's a blila raka, when your mother makes a lot of the cakes, all the cakes that are made with a batter of blila raka. Then this is even less than a blila raka. When you mix in the chocolate flavoring, it's not even a blila raka. It's mamish nothing with nothing. It's not even lishah mid rabbanon. Lila ava is lishah mid atar. Lila rak, I think, is lishah mid rabbanon. It's like this. Not even a lila rak is mamish nothing. So I don't think davening neizer means to say that you have to have dafke al pidin something that's called lishah of lila ava in order to be called lechem. It's not true. What if you make a lila rak and then you do an afiyah? So we pass from the Shulchan Aruch that it is chay v'chalot, that it is hamoitz, that it is birchas hamoz. The main thing is afiyah. What he means is that you need some outside mashke. It means you need one aspect of lisha. You don't need the blila other aspect of the lisha, but you need the one aspect of the lisha. Namely, you need some external mashke mixed in to be mechaber the particles of flour together. If you didn't mix in an external mashke, which Alpidin has the koyach of being mechaber, you mixed in zayin mashkim, it's l'choladeh is good. But if you mixed in meiperis, that's a machlegis hatanoim. Whether that'll be mitzarif or not. So this Avnei Nezer claims, based on this Yerushalmi, Avnei Nezer claims that it's another condition in Hilchas Lechem and Kol HaTarei Kula that's relevant for this new bread that they make. That if you just blend all of the kernels of grain together by melting them in with their own juice, that's lo maspik. You have to have a certain aspect of lisha, not the full din of lisha b'lilova, but you need a certain aspect of lisha, and that's the machlokes hatanoim. What if you'll make what if you make with May Paris? You won't make with one of the Zayin Mashkin. So this is his kashi. He has a steer in the Rambam. The Rambam holds in Hilchas Benigya Sechala that if you mix in any one of the May Paris, then you're not Chai Mechala. You're only Chai Mechala with one of the Zayin Mashkin. So how come the Rambam writes in Hilchas Chometz Matzah that if you make matzah with May Paris, it's good? The Rambam holds that the only May Paris that's no good is Yain Cholot Vash and Shemek. And if you mixed in, let's say, egg matzahs, the way they sell the egg matzahs now, they make them from apple cider with eggs. So that none of the Zayin Mashkim are used. So the Rambam Shita is, so the Rambam seems to say that since they didn't use Yain Shemen Vasha Cholov, so it's not called Matzah Shiris Yikim Yotzei Dechavasa, but this matzah would be Kosher L'Mahadrin B'Lel Pesach. So the Amnenezer is bothered with the Kasha, how can it be Matzah if it doesn't even have a Shem Lechem? If the Ramah is not even Chai Mechalo, not Chai Mechalo, why not Chai Mechalo? Because it's not Mitzarif, only Zayin Mashma Mitzarif. What do you mean Zayin Mashma Mitzarif? You need a Lisha Alpidin. Not a real Lisha Bli Love. You need a Lisha in the sense you need an external Mashke. Has to be one of the Zayin Mashkim, he passed him, the Rambam passed him to Machlag Satanah, has to be one of the Zayin Mashkim to be Mechaber all the things together. So here, if it's not one of the Zayin Mashkim, so how can you be Yotzei Dechavasa B'Lel Pesach if it doesn't have a Shem Lechem? That's the Avnei Nezer's Kasha. It's late. There's another Kasha also, and he answers both Kashas. Maybe tomorrow we'll start again from this Kasha. I'll explain it again tomorrow. It's a very good cash. If you assume all of his premises, then he has a good cash.